Enoch took the scroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God
just let him out home.
He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys I thought I would never see down. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heading back.
He keeps leading me home.
I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys I thought I would never see down. But the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. Once my soul was astray
from the heavenly way,
I was wretched and vile as could be, but my Savior in love gave me peace from above when He reached down His hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, when He reached down His hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, I was near in despair when He came to me there, and He showed me that I could be free. Then He lifted my knee, gave me glory complete when He reached down His hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, when He reached down His hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, now my heart is rejoiced when I hear His sweet voice. In the tempest to Him I can cling, I can lean on His arms, safe and sure from all harm. When He reached down His hand for me, when the Savior reached down for me, when He reached down His hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, now my heart does rejoice when I hear His sweet voice. And in a tempest to Him I can cling, I can lean on His arm, safe and sure from all harm, when He reached down His hand for me. when the Savior reached down for me, when he reached down his hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son, when he reached down his hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, when he reached down his hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son, when he reached down his hand for me. The anchor, though the ship's been battered, the anchor, though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. The anchor holds, though the ship's been battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. Ear seen thou come again, said I, and yes, the schwarz, the air to tongue, dort an das Kreuz stand, erschrecklich zugeriet, sein göttliches Angesicht, mit Blut und Silbermalen, gleich keinen Menschen nie. Von Haupt bis zu den Füßen ist Jesus ganz verblasst, am ganzen Leib zerrissen, kein Glied ist unverblasst. Betracht so Menschenkind, das machen deine Sinn. Ja, ja, dies eh alleine, Jesus am Kreuz hing. Seht, Jesus ist den Siegen, der Kräfte ganz beraubt. Der Tod muss unterliegen, er neigt sein heiliges Haupt. Die Sonnen auf der Mond verfinstern sich auch schon, mit Schmerz und Tod bedauert, Jesus am Kreuz erstarrt. Ah, Jesus, lass dein Leiden, dein bitter Todenbein an mir, wenn ich muss scheinen, nur nicht verloren sein. Dein rosenfarbenes Blut, das kam mir zu gut, wenn sie in my mind daily, the light of shining to. That's what it costs to give it our salvation. Not some dress code or some tradition. It costs the blood of Jesus. That's why we keep singing these songs. That's where reality hits. Mm-hmm. The rubber hits the pavement. That's what it costs Jesus. Therein lies our salvation, not in some tradition or not in some good works that we think we can do, like we were talking yesterday. Our righteousness is nothing but a filthy rag. Here's what it costs.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, he had to be led by his Heavenly Father to pay for our sins and our, so he could reach down and drag us out of the muck and the mire that we find ourselves in. And it says in the last days, we're in the last days, we're in the last of the last days. It says Paul said, the last days, it's going to be very hard to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And we're right in that. We're barely making it. In fact, so you take 3 steps ahead and 4 backwards many times. Mm-hmm. That's how hard it is. Yeah, I could sing that song, Enoch took a stroll one day with the Master, just him and the Lord alone. We can't even hardly do that anymore. It's such a dark hour out there. Now, I'm not making any excuses. You have to be completely, completely sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what it is your appetite, like my food, you know. If you let yourself go with food, you end up at the gutter. You end up at the trough somewhere, some buffet, which is absolutely no. I'm just as guilty as anybody, but I know at least I got a problem and I got a fight, you know. Some people don't even know there's a fight out here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus said. That's what that song said. He that died does nicht mit fressen, not mit self and I health. Well, he that died does nicht mit fressen, not mit self and I health. Und mit sorgen now he doesn't. I health does better with lion shells. It weighs you down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You only don't need that much food. You just need barely. When we don't hardly eat, that's when we feel the best. That's where the battle is. Jesus warned us about that in the last days. He warned us about what to watch out for. You can read it over in Luke 21, where it talks about the coming of the Lord and the end time. He just simply came out and said, this is beware that any time your heart be overcharged with eating and drinking. He took it serious. He saw the end time approaching, and he saw the hour that we're now living in, and it behooves us to take these warnings very serious. And I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to anybody. This is for me, for myself, and I. We got the problem too. Just because we're saying things we're saying, that doesn't mean that we're not in a fight. Right to the bitter end. That's the battle we're in. And if you quit fighting, believe you me, Satan will take over.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have a prayer unless you're 100% sold out to do, allow yourselves to be guided by the Spirit of the living God. And he's warning us, beware lest any time your heart be overcharged with eating and drinking and the things of this world. They just have a way of taken over, you know.
That's
if you don't
right.
constantly watch,
yeah.
Man, I didn't know that dangerous, but it is. Let yourself go before you know it. You're 100 pounds overweight again. But we want to keep talking about that what we were saying the other day.
Journey through this world of woe?
Yeah, we want to talk about the journey that we've been on, going through this world ever since the Lord put us on this journey here. And our thing has always been one to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. And it's pretty tough, you know. It's not
Just like we were saying about Jesus, back in his day, he came to destroy the works of the devil. And before he could destroy, he had to expose it. And back then, when you go back there and you kind of listen, read in between the lines, it was unpardonable sin if you said anything about these religious zealots out there. And when you, when they heard you talking about bad about these scribes and the Pharisees, it was an unwritten law. Mm-hmm. You don't talk bad about these people because they're the holy people. It's the unpardonable sin to talk, to say anything negative about them. Well, Jesus comes along and he kind of starts taking the covers off and he starts saying, if your righteousness, he was talking to his inner circle, if your righteousness doesn't exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, then you can't even enter into the kingdom of God. And oh man, they were shocked. Who can be saved then? And bit by bit, you could see throughout his sojourn, his 3.5 years of his ministry there, bit by bit, he took the covers off. Finally, you can go read it in Matthew 23, where he finally just kind of just put the gloves off and he just let them have it. Woe unto you, scribes and the Pharisees, like you were saying yesterday. You clean the outside of the cup, but inside it's full of dead men's bones. And oh man, he took the gloves off and he exposed them things. And that's what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. We're exposing these tugs, these, that's all they are. They're agents of Satan. Mm-hmm. And they got the people so deceived that they think they're these holy people. I get worked up over them. I know I'm not mad at them. I just get worked up when I see how they're deceiving innocent people that are just trying to make it through this world of woe. And here they come along and deceive them with their religious garbage. I was sitting here the other day. I tried to read on this program I got here. And I'm trying to read 3 chapters of the Bible every day. So here I was reading, and then I guess you were listening to something, and it was very annoying. I don't know. I was wondering who you were listening to, and apparently somebody sent you a clip.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, and then when I was done reading, I asked you, who were you listening to? I says, I don't know who it is. I'll find out. So he found out who it was, and here it was. I refrain from calling him my brother-in-law. He's my sister's husband, that Joe from Cyprus.
Mm-hmm.
What an idiot. And it was so disgusting and so embarrassing when I had to listen to him. Like, it took my attention away. And then we found out it's that Joe from Cyprus. Somebody taped him out. And what a maniac. And here he claims to be a preacher, you know. And it was very annoying. And then, like I said, you told me it was, so we listened a little bit. I couldn't even listen. Maybe you listened to all of it. It was very, oh man, what a low life of a person can sink so low and to think he's a Christian man. But anyway, we want to just continue to expose them. And as I was thinking last night, I was thinking about this episode. Like we keep going back. When I went, I call them their torture chambers. They tried everything they could. And then once they did all that number on me, they tried to hide themselves that now I got them exposed. Like there came a day when I was already terminated and I had really no place to stay or nothing and was driving truck at that time. And then, like I said, the other day I'd truck for 5 days and then I'd be off for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And here my family at home, I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go home. The law of the land does not allow them to just terminate a person. And if it came to the course, they couldn't do that. So I decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home every weekend. I'm going to spend 2 days out of the week with my family. I know I told you the other day about it, but I missed something very important when I heard that idiot Renton and Raven here and there on that clip that somebody sent us. And I figured, well, I better expose him for who he is. And then, so I went home. And then that Eli, my dad was already out of commission. That Eli, that B-man, calls himself a preacher. But anyway, he called me, what are you doing here? I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come home every week, on the weekend, I'm going to spend 2 days with my family, and Monday I'll go back to work again till Friday, and then Friday night I'll come home, and that's what I'm going to do from here on out. Well, we'll see about that one. So what he did, he called the sergeant up. We got a guy here that's trespassing. What can we do with him? Well, so they kind of told about the situation. So the sergeant from Nippewa, the top guy in the police force there, he said, I'll come down, I'll talk to him. Maybe we can hatch out something. I'll have a nice talk with him. So he came down, and he spent all practically all day there trying to negotiate some kind of a deal with that B-man. And we thought for sure we'll be able to make some kind of a deal. I told the police when he came into my house, here's what I deal. I don't agree with their religion, because I don't want to be caught up in their, the way they terrorize people, the way they persecute people, the way they operate. I don't want no part of their religion, because it's diabolic, and I didn't tell them it's diabolic. I just told them I just don't agree with them. I don't want nothing to do with their religion, but I got 5 children here, and they need their dad, and I decided that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come home every weekend and spend time with him. Oh, he said, that should be no problem. I'll go talk to Eli. So all day long, he went back and forth to the bee house, and then he came, well, this, that, and he tried to negotiate some kind of a deal with that Eli guy. Anyway, so we couldn't come to no understanding. So anyway, so that Eli said, so what can we do? Well, according to the law, we can arrest them for trespassing. That's it. Mm-hmm. And then we'll take them to Nippewa, and we'll drop them off on the street, and then what he'll probably do, we'll probably walk back home again, then we'll arrest them again. And then he'll drop them off in Nippewa again, and then he'll walk back home. But the third time we arrest them, we're going to have to throw them into jail. Mm-hmm. And then when we do that, there's going to have to be a court case. Well, I guess what he did, he called up some preachers, and they didn't want to go to court, because I was determined. I'm going to do whatever it takes. You don't have the rights to just terminate a person simply because he tells them the truth, because I was serious. And I wanted to spend time with my children. My children were just 12 years old, and just when they need somebody. And here are these idiots. They just turned me out, took my children away from me for no reason at all, for telling them the truth. Anyway, this thing went on. So what that Eli did, okay, told that cop, well, we don't want to go to court. We'll take care of the situation ourselves. So what does he do? He calls up that Pope, that Jacob, that Jake von Blumengard. He was the Pope at that time. I call him a Pope because that's what they are. They're a bunch of Popes. They operate just like the Vatican, just like the Catholic Church did. Anyway, so he calls up that Pope. And then they had their meeting and whatever. Okay, we'll look after, we'll take care of that. So what does that idiot do? He calls up that Joe from Cyprus, that animal that you heard on that clip here the other day, ranting and raving about something. And I didn't even know what the subject was about. But anyway, he calls him up. You go up there to Riverside, and you get that guy out of there. And if he's not out of there by sundown, we're going to move his wife and his family down to Delta Colony. Okay, so here he comes. I seen him leaving. I seen him walking into my dad's place there, and he had some big steps. Man, you should have seen him how fast he walked. Mm-hmm. And he was serious. He's going to get this job done because he got orders from the Pope. You better go up and Dave if they know what's good for him. And anyway, so and he went to my dad's, and then my dad was kind of disconnected already. He didn't have the full say-so. That Eli had a full say-so then. So we went into my dad, and they called my wife home to tell her what they decided to do. If you don't get that guy, if you don't get Sam out of that house before sundown, then you're going to come in, and we're going to take your family and move you down to Delta Colony. Well, so she was there, so she came home crying. If you have to get out, if you don't get out, they want to move me down to Delta. Well, I prayed about, and the Lord said, just leave me alone. Let's get out, and I'll look after things. And that's what I did. And I went in my car, and I took off, and I left with the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. And that's why I talked about that, the Joseph side, was, you know, my wife's, or my sister's husband. I refrain from calling him my brother-in-law. He's my brother's brother-in-law. I don't have anything good to say about the man, because he's so religious and so traditionally minded. He thinks he's something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I thought I would just continue to talk about these things, to expose them for who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do here.
Mm-hmm.
Just pray
before. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we just want to stop for a moment of time just to give into your presence, Lord, to give you thanks for another day of life, and give you thanks, Lord, for what you've allowed us to go through in life in the last 30, 40 years, to expose the unfruitful works of darkness. You've led us through this journey of woe, Lord. We've had our ups and downs and our disagreements and agreements with these people, but at the end of the day, Lord, we just want to expose them so that they can repent before it's too late. And we just pray you'll give us the grace to do it in such a manner that it'll resonate with the hearts of the people, and the people will finally begin to see how wicked these people are. Their spiritual wickedness in high places. And we just ask for the grace to expose them. In the light of the scriptures, Lord, do it as you see fit. Lead and guide us by the end of your spirit, Lord. Help us in these closing days of time to stay true and faithful, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you were saying about, what does Matthew?
Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe to you experts in the law and you Pharisees, hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgences. The Pharisees and that spirit of those religious leaders, that's still around today.
Mm-hmm.
But you just have to find them in your day and hour.
Yeah.
But they're still around. It says, blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside may become clean too.
Mm-hmm.
Woe to you experts in the law and you Pharisees, hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs that look beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of the bones of the dead and of everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you look righteous to people, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you experts in the law and you Pharisees, hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the day of our ancestors, we would not have participated with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. But saying this, you testify against yourselves that you are descendants of those who murdered the prophets. That's the same way today. Like, people talk today about Jesus and about their forefathers, but they're doing the same
mm-hmm.
thing that these people did back in that generation to the Christians and to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're doing the same thing. A religion does that. It has, religion is of the devil, and
mm-hmm.
that's what the devil does. He persecutes what God is doing.
See, if I wouldn't have gone through all that, I can't say what I'm saying. I can't
mm-hmm.
say they're not of God. I can't say that Satan is dead head on it. But see, I went through their torture chambers. I went through everything that I'm talking about here. And that's the only way I could expose them. Now we're going back and we're exposing them here in these closing days. Who they really are. They're exactly doing exactly what they did back in the day, and they're hiding behind religion. And before it's all over with, you're going to find most of these preachers are pedophiles. Like, two of them got caught already. They came out, and they got caught, that guy from Prairie Blossom, that preacher there, and then that one from Silver Wing. Like I say, two of them is out in the open, but there's lots of them that work in underground that are not exposed yet, but the heart of it is still the same. Just because They might not be doing it, but they're still, the heart of it is like that. They're what it says here in Matthew 23. It took Jesus 3.5 years to finally come out, take the gloves off, and put them out there, and then that's exactly who they are. And it took me a lifetime that now I can actually come out and say who these people are. My brother's brother-in-law is just as wicked as they can come. And here he tries to have a speech that, he had a nervous breakdown here a few years back, and I think he's very close to another one if he doesn't watch himself. But see, what we're doing, we're just exposing them. We're not, back in the day when these courts were on, I just reminded that during the night, sometimes I wake up at night, and I was reminded of this episode back in the day when the court cases were on, that J.K. was found stealing a bunch of money and defrauding the Hutterite Church and things like that. So there was court cases going on. And I had a dream. I said, there's going to go three courts. He's going to win the first two courts, but the Supreme Court one he's going to lose. And I, lo and behold, I happened to be at that Supreme Court. And Danny, he invited me to come down to the Supreme Court. So we drove down there. Me, his wife, and his son, and the four of us drove down there to the Supreme Court. And they wanted me to come along because I was just being excommunicated, terminated. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of free to do whatever. So I was still kind of staying at the colony there. But see, they couldn't terminate me because the case was before the courts.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we went down there and the day the court came and my father-in-law was there and that Josh from Lakeside and that Jake from Starlight, the three of them and their lawyers. And then here were we, the four of us. And anyway, we went to that the night before we went to that court, I was up praying all night, and I saw exactly what's going to happen. We're going to win this court. I prayed all night until I prayed through. And then once I prayed through, I knew that we're going to win that court. He's not going to, J.K. is going to lose. Anyway, that's exactly what happened. The next day, the court came, and then after about a month or 6 weeks, it came out that he lost that court case. But when I'm trying to get to something, I had that. Then when this whole episode was going on, I had this dream about this. I was going into this apartment, and I saw a girl about 9 years old, and I seen her walk past when I was looking down the alley, and she was such a horrible shape that I couldn't understand why she was still so horrible a condition she was in, like as if she got raped all night. And then after 3 days, the dream continued, and I went ahead to look where she was coming from, and here was a room full of Hutterites. And she had just molested that little girl, and that little girl went in to her mom tried to comfort her. And here, lo and behold, I find out, I had a friend up at Three Hills, Alberta, or at Rocky Shore. Alberta, so I went to visit him. Here he told me, Sam, we should maybe go down to Rockyford tomorrow. There's going to be a march down there. And he told me exactly what's going on. This little girl, 9-year-old girl, the teacher noticed that there was something going on with that girl because she was very depressed. And so she took the girl to the, she knew she'd been sexually abused, so she took the girl to the doctor, and they found out she'd been sexually abused. So anyway, this whole thing kept going. And here, the Hutterites up in Alberta, they tried to hush this thing, and they told the courts, we're going to settle this ourselves. Oh, and then the courts, the people started rising up, and there was a big march. You're not going to settle this. We're going to take this thing right to the courts. See, what they do, they want to hush this thing so it doesn't come out to the open, to the public. Anyway, so this march, so they went to this premier. They had this premier, and back in the day, done the Sterling Line or something properly, and he happened to be a lawyer, so they hired him, and then he said, well, this thing is a bit too touchy for me. You're just going to have to let this thing go to the courts. he wanted his lawyer to kind of speak good for him, but he refused the plea. Anyway, went to the courts, and then eventually they ended up here in the penitentiary, these people that raped her. And see what happened? That woman, that girl's mother, what she did, she sold that girl to these thugs, to these drunks, to these old fat pigs, to screw her and to rape her. And then she would get the money for it. That's exactly what happened. And then they finally, the law found out about it and threw him in penitentiary here for a couple of years. But they wanted to hush this thing. And this is about the same time when I had that dream and when these court cases were on. And then that's when I told that RCMP that came to my house. I said, I don't want no part of this stuff. The way they operate, I don't know. I just want to come and visit with my children. I don't want no part of their religion because it's diabolic. Anyway, so what we're doing. So then when I had a dream, I saw just the way God looks at this thing, this Hutterite thing. If you're part of that Hutterite constitution, you're just as guilty as that woman that hired that girl. You're just as guilty as these people that raped that little girl. And in the eyes of God, you're going to be held liable. You're doing the same thing because you're part of that diabolical, satanic constitution that Hutterite thing is under. And then on the day of judgment, when that judgment comes, you're going to be found guilty if you're part of that constitution. That's why I told the RCMP, I don't want no part of their religion because it's not good. It's something I don't want to get my hands defiled in. And I want nothing to do with it. But I just want 2 days out of the week to come and visit my children and my family. Well, we wouldn't have none of it. And then, see what I'm trying to do here? I'm trying to expose how the Lord looks at things. Back then, when finally the Lord came and took the gloves off, and he exposed these Pharisees and these religious leaders for exactly who they are. And here, what we're doing, the same thing. We got the gloves off, and we're telling them how God looks at that Hutterite thing. It's diabolic, it's satanic, and on the day of judgment, there won't be much questions. It'll just be condemned because they're doing the very same thing that they did back in the days of Jesus. And throughout history, that's what that religion does. It's a religious system. And that's all these religions do. Whether it's a Brennanite or it's a Mennonite or there's Amish, all these things are being brought out in daylight. And you're going to find out what happens inside the Amish camp and inside the Brother Brennan camp and inside all these camps. They are just whitewashed tombs. And all we're doing, we're exposing them for what they really are.
Mm-hmm. Again, and that hides behind religion. That's what Jesus tried to tell them, what it's all about. Outside, they do this, but inside, it's full of indulgences. Mm-hmm. And that's comes all out from Roman Catholicism, and that's the fruits of it, what religion does. That's the mother of the harlots, and mm-hmm. Those are all her harlots, and these are the ones that Jesus talked about when he had parables that they killed the prophets and that were sent down through time. You can see it, how they got rid of the prophets of Isaiah and all the other prophets. When God sent them, they killed them. And then he thought, well, if they're not going to listen to the prophets that I've sent, I'm going to send my own son. Mm-hmm. And look what they did to his very own son. See, that's what religion does. It's a killer, and it kills. And then that's what I felt growing up in that religious system, is that darkness. And that's what religion brings along with it. It's almost like a dark omen. And when you're in that religion, it has an effect on you. And like you said, you in a sense, you're partakers of that sin. It's because you're in that environment and you become partakers. And that's how it really works.
And so it was back in the days of Martin Luther. He came and he exposed the Vatican for exactly what they're doing. They wrote the 95 theses on Wittenberg there, on the door of the Wittenberg, all the atrocities that the Catholic Church did. And all we're doing the same thing Martin Luther did. We're doing the same thing Jesus did when he took the gloves off. We're taking the gloves off and we're exposing how diabolical that system is. And if you're part of that substitution. When the Lord comes in with his judgment, he's going to do exactly what he did back in the days of Lucifer. When Lucifer was so corrupt, and all these angels that were supporting Lucifer, that were on his side, there wasn't even a question. When he came and judged Lucifer, these angels, they went down there with him because they were supporting him. And here again, it's the same thing. If you would support that Hutterite constitution on that day of judgment, God comes from the day of the Lord, and he's going to bring everything out in the open, you're going to be found wanting. You're going to be found on the short side of the fence. And there's only one thing left for you to do. You need to get that, accept that invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and disconnect yourself from that diabolical satanic system, because God's going to find you guilty. Believe you me, I saw it all. I saw how God looks at things. And well, we're just exposing it before it's too late.
Well, it does say in Revelation 18, chapter verse 4, it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God had remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she had filled to her double." See, that's what it says. It says that that you be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
Yeah.
See, that's where you can back it up in the scripture, that when you're part of that religious organization, you become partakers of her sins and receive her plagues.
Exactly right.
And that's why God called us out of those religious regimes, is because that great and mighty angel, we heard that mighty angel, and we came out. The Lord brought us out of these systems of religion.
That's why we're saying the things we're doing. We're exposing them. We're exposing that Brenner movement. It's just become another cult. And now the Jacksonites are just doing everything they can to destroy everything Brother Jackson ever taught. And we're just moving on. There's only one chapter left. There's only right now that's left. It's the invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. So you can, God's rich in mercy and grace gives you an out from that Hutterite constitution. If you're under that constitution, believe you me, you're going to do exactly what you just read. You're going to partake of her sins, and you're going to receive her plagues. And when God comes and looks at it, he's going to have you just as guilty as these people that were abusing that little 9-year-old girl, and just as guilty as the mom that sold that girl to these thugs. It's just the same thing. God is not going to be mocked. He's going to do exactly what his word says. That's why he's begging and pleading here in his closing days of time. Disconnect yourself from that diabolical system. And if you don't, well, the word of God is run through the four. It says you're going to receive her place, you're going to be partakers of her sin, and you're going to receive her place. That's like I was saying earlier. There's two of them that came out that they found out that they were abusing little children. But there's a lot more that are also involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't even mention her name because I've seen it by the Spirit. There's more than just these two. The other one just haven't come out in the open. You know, haven't been found out yet.
Yeah,
but there's a lot, because that's all that thing is built on, is Roman Catholicism, child abuse, and all that stuff that all that filth that's involved with it. And we're just trying to expose it before it's too late, so they can repent and get away from that, out from underneath that constitution. Yeah, mm-hmm. We're not just beating our gums together. We're talking from experience.
Yeah, and it's in the world settings, you can see that in the world setting, big preachers are coming out being exposed of child abuse, like that Robert Morris. Mm-hmm. He was a big preacher, and he not too long ago, they arrested him for child abuse and things of that matter. See, that's where what people hide behind, what I said, religion, people like to hide behind religion because they can hide a lot of sins behind it. And that's what Jesus was saying. The outside of the cup, they cleave clean, but inside, what is inside is all the filth that you can ever imagine.
Amen for that. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. We're just exposing them, and they're exposing themselves. And we're just putting the icing on the cake because, like I say, we went through their torture chambers. The reason the Lord allowed us to go through what we've been going through in the last 30, 40 years, so we can expose them here in these closing days of time.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's, history just repeats itself. It's just the same what they did back in the days of Jesus and down through time. It's just a repeat. Mm-hmm. With what you see happening today, it's just a repeat of how the devil hides behind religion.
I was just reading Jeremiah. I read these three chapters of Jeremiah every day, and then I was reading Jeremiah. It's just a repeat as it was back then. It's mm-hmm. exactly happening today. In Jeremiah, he was telling him the truth, and they didn't like it, and the king got him arrested, and told him to shut up from his prophesying. And as I was reading, I thought to myself, man, just repeating itself mm-hmm. here again today. When the company, the nation gets so corrupt, then that's exactly what happens. That's mm-hmm. what you got out there today. These preachers, these zealots, and these scribes, and these Pharisees, they're still here today because that spirit is not dead. He's going to be dead once Jesus comes and throws them into hell. That mm-hmm. until then, we just have to put up with it, you know? Mm-hmm. And like the Bible says, in the last days, it's going to be very hard to be a Christian. It's so hard for you and I to stay on course. And if you're not completely sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ, believe you me, you're not going to make it. You're going to be suckling right with everybody else. With all this corruption, all that filth that's going on around us, we'll be sucked in, and we'll be taken out to hell and that just like everybody else. If we don't completely sold out to do what's right under the Lord Jesus Christ and allow ourselves to be led and guided by His Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just come before You, Lord, and thankful for the journey that You've walked us through in this life so we can expose the unfruitful works of darkness, of religion, and all that hides behind it, Lord. We want to give You thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.